the critical juncture in the film is Banksy's one-man show in L.A., which becomes, you know, this cause celeb. I mean, just, you know, Brad Pitt shows up, and everyone wants to be there and everyone wants to be seen there. You know, Banksy's art in that show sells for tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so you get the sense that for Banksy, the fact that he has become part of the art establishment is what bothers him. You know, the fact that people couldn't see that this show was a joke. Because when you look at the show, as great as Banksy's art is, you know, the fact that there is this painted elephant in the room, and everyone seems to treat it as just cool rather than, you know, a fantastic metaphor of what's gone wrong with the art world.
Welcome to the Plastic Podcast. I'm Robert Davis. Recently, J. Robert Parks and I saw a documentary whose run at local theaters, both here in Chicago and elsewhere, has been extended repeatedly to accommodate all of the people who want to see it. I mean, this thing's been playing for months here. It's about that special brand of prankster known as a street artist. Now, whether you consider these folks slightly more sophisticated taggers or true artists who happen to use the city as their canvas, I'm sure you've seen their work. If not in person, then at least on TV or the internet, because even political campaigns have blessed some of their creations. Think of the iconic Obama poster by Shepard Fairey, for example. The documentary is called Exit Through the Gift Shop, and it's about some of these guys, and then it's about one of them in particular. But there are two ways to take the movie. You can take it at face value. It's pretty fun, and why wouldn't you? Well, given that the person who's credited with directing this film is also one of the best known of these pranksters, you may want to question the story you're being told. And by best known, I mean that he's been working for a long time, he's produced work that's recognizable, and he's given us a pseudonym to attach to it. He calls himself Banksy. And that's about all we know about him. Almost.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, J. Robert.
How are you?
Good. I was in London a few years ago, and everywhere we went, we seemed to see this little stencil of a mouse, like, you know, 6 inches high, standing on a step somewhere, taking a picture like a tourist, or, you know, just all, in all different places. And I didn't know anything about what this was, but I took a few pictures of it. And now I realize it's a street artist named Banksy. Mm. There's a new movie about him and other street artists called Exit Through the Gift Shop, and we're going to talk about it today. What do you think of this movie?
You know, I... when I first saw it, which I saw in the spring, I liked it. But as I've thought more about it, I've come to really like it. And just to sort of give a setup for what the movie's about, it's about ostensibly this guy named Terry, who's from France, but he comes to L.A. and sort of settles in L.A. and opens this sort of clothing store, apparently. And he's a guy who likes to videotape everything. He just videotapes everything in his life and doesn't really have any interest in doing anything with the videotapes. But he talks about this childhood experience of losing his mom and sort of wanting to somehow capture his life and not lose anything again. But he falls in with a bunch of street artists. And I think it's important that we distinguish street artists from sort of simple graffiti artists, or not simple graffiti artists, but it's two different kinds of art, really. You know, graffiti artists tend to be working just with paint, spray paint on walls, whereas street art is much more about using like stencils or, you know, pre-printed things that you then sort of paste onto walls. And I think there's an important distinction here. And so this is about street artists. And Terry falls in with some people in L.A., including Shepard Fairey, who is most famous for doing the very iconic Obama poster a couple of years ago. And he starts videotaping them. And as we see in the film, as time goes on, he videotapes them more and more. And then he kind of starts to become part of their crew. I mean, while he's videotaping, if they need help, he helps them. And he becomes this kind of go-to guy for various street artists in LA. And then he gets this idea to go back to Europe and to, you know, sort of record or tape people there. But it all reaches this kind of climax when Banksy comes to LA, who's based in London, but he decides he's going to do this one-man show, an actual show in LA. and sort of Terry becomes the guy who gets him around LA, and then it goes from there. We're almost certainly going to have to spoil the ending on this one because we need to talk about what's going on in this movie. But when I first saw it, I thought it was an interesting portrait of what street artists do, and kind of a weird portrait of this guy, Terry, because as the movie goes on, he becomes sort of inspired to do street art of his own. But what's very clear is that he's not very good. I think that's quite obvious. And yet he's sort of acclaimed as the next great thing, and he's hyped, and he's a very good self-marketer in that way. And so the movie is about this guy. And I think just on that surface level, it's interesting because he's an interesting character. But I've come to believe now and thinking about it more that there's a lot more going on. But we can save that. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a sec. The movie actually starts with a short interview with Banksy himself. He's in disguise because he's not... it's not known who Banksy is. Mm-hmm. He has this name that he goes by, and everyone knows the art that he's done. And he even he's had actual real installations at museums who've brought him in legitimately to show some of his work. And so that's sort of the model that Terry follows. Terry at first is just a guy with a video camera documenting this stuff, you know, watching all these people, which is really cool footage to have, to actually see Banksy climbing up on a building to put a stencil up or to see, you know, some of these other guys doing what they do instead of just walking past a wall and seeing what the results, that is really cool.
Well, it is, and it's an important too, because I mean, so much of street art is very ephemeral. You know, it's going to be taken down, it's going to be covered over. And so, you know, some of Terry's footage is the only footage we have of some of these, you know, some of this art.
Which is partly why they wanted him there. I mean, they sort of liked the idea that there was someone documenting this because it's going to be gone soon. And they began to trust him. And as the documentary tries to explain that Terry just amassed this huge amount of video footage because he videotapes everything in his life. And then when some of the street artists began to realize what he had, they're like, hey, this is really great stuff. You should make a movie out of this. And so someone says, you should make a movie of it. Well, he has no experience editing or doesn't have any ability to cull something good out of this mountain of material. And as Banksy says at the beginning, this movie was supposed to be about himself, Banksy, but it ended up being about Terry. Partly because Terry tried to, in the story presented to us in the movie, tried to follow the Banksy model, where he tried to become a street artist himself. He did his own stencils. They look, to my eye, a little derivative of the things that he has seen. But they're kind of cool, and he does them in the same way that he's learned by watching all these people. And then he, as you said, he hyped himself up enough to get an installation somewhere, and is just cranking this stuff out with a team of people, not even doing it himself. He just sort of dictates, and it's like a factory.
Yeah, it is. It's like Warhol's factory sort of come to life.
Yeah. But that provokes this question of, well, hey, that guy's not legitimate street art. Yeah. But the whole point of street art was to be illegitimate, you know, to do these things that they're not legal, and to sort of skirt the system. And you run away as soon as you hear the sirens are off in the distance, you know. So it's this sort of joke of, well, what do you mean that's not legitimate? What's the point of legitimacy?
Yeah, no, that's right. And it's interesting, too, because, I mean, at least, again, I like your phrase, as the story as it's presented to us. That's an important distinction. Terry tries to make this film, and like you say, he has no real experience, and so what he comes up with is terrible. And so then Banksy decides he'll take this footage and he will make his own film. And like you say, it becomes a film about Terry, but at least theoretically, that's what we're watching.
Yeah, this movie we're talking about, Exit Through the Gift Shop, is credited to Banksy.
Yes, based, again, theoretically, on Terry's footage. And there's a lot of talking heads. I mean, it's not a... The documentary itself is, I think, very in a very coy manner, obvious. You know, it feels like other documentaries. It's shot in fairly ugly digital video. It has a lot of talking head sequences. It has, you know, some footage of, you know, filming different people doing different things. But it feels like a very straightforward documentary. And I think if you didn't push it very far, you just think, well, that's kind of an interesting portrait of what street artists do, and particularly this kind of guy, Terry, and how he becomes, some ways, an artist.
He calls himself Mr. Brainwash, and I was thinking, oh, I've never heard of that guy, but I'm not that well-versed in street art. Maybe there is a Mr. Brainwash.
Yeah, that's right. But what I've realized, and I'm not the only one, it's not like I've come to this on my own, you know, lots of people who've seen this film have thought about it, have started to think, wait, is this really what the film is about? Is the film just simply a portrait of Terry, or is there something more going on? And I think the real fundamental question, and it's one that a lot of people disagree on, is this somehow a hoax? Is Terry real? Or is this somehow a put on by Banksy? Because I think it's important, if you don't know much about street art, and I didn't know much before this film at all, but you know, Banksy's art is often political, more so than I think a lot of other street artists. A lot of other street artists just seem to be sort of trying to tweak the system, you know, sort of poke the eye of the establishment. Whereas Banksy is doing that, but in really interesting and clever ways. You know, that he did some art on the wall that's being built to separate Israel from the West Bank. And he did some really fascinating art that you see in this movie that was put on that wall. And it's very, very provocative. And so you start to wonder, you know, is this film somehow a not exactly a political act, but is there more going on? And that, I think, is the real interesting question. And so I throw it out to you, Rob. What do you think?
Yeah, first I should point out that what you're listening to is not journalism. I haven't gone out to try to answer these questions. Yeah. I'm responding only to what I saw in the theater.
Yeah.
And what I saw in the theater looked to me like fake.
Mm.
It seemed like a hoax. It's clearly real footage and fascinating footage of these very real artists who are doing their work. And then there's a point in the middle where the story of Terry takes over and we see him doing his own show and doing his own art, which isn't very good. And it's fun and funny to watch. And to me, at that point, it was clear that it switched and that this is about a fictional character. And so I spent the whole time trying to parcel out now which part is real and which part isn't.
Yeah.
Because clearly this is someone shot this footage.
Mm-hmm.
And it does look like a lot of times Terry is the one holding the camera.
Yeah.
You know, he turns it around sometimes and we see him. We see him with Shepard Fairey. We see him with someone who claims to be Banksy.
Yeah.
And we see that person who claims to be Banksy showing stencils of things that we know are credited to Banksy. And it seemed real. It seems like this is really his workshop. And so there clearly is a lot of real footage in here. But is there really a character named Terry who got his start by shooting everything that he ever saw? Is there really a guy who put on the show you know, in Los Angeles under the name Mr. Brainwash? And even if he did, that doesn't necessarily mean that this isn't still a put-on, that show could have been staged in order for this, you know, it's very elaborate, but these guys are all into elaborate.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a cool sequence where they show Banksy working on this project where he took one of those recognizable red telephone booths that they have in London. They stole one and they took it to his workshop and they sort of cut it in half and they reassembled it so that it was bent and they put it back on a street corner lying down with an axe through the side of it. Like it had been involved in this horrible axe murder and taking this telephone booth down. And everyone just, you know, does a double take like, oh man. And then people gather around and they take pictures and they say, this has got to be Banksy. This has got to be Banksy over here.
Yeah.
You know, now everybody wants to get a picture of it. So it's kind of funny that he's, as you said, he is often political or sometimes political, but as almost has to work against this idea that he's establishment, that he's, once people think, oh, that's Banksy, it's like, it's okay. It's okay for him to do this sort of thing.
Right. Well, right. And we see that. And this for me is the critical juncture in the film is Banksy's one man show in LA, which becomes, you know, this cause celeb. I mean, just, you know, Brad Pitt shows up, and everyone wants to be there and everyone wants to be seen there, you know, and it's not just Banksy's art, but like he paints a live elephant that then sort of becomes the elephant in the room with this really fantastic metaphor.
Yeah.
But, you know, Banksy's art in that show sells for tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we actually have interviews with people who collect Banksy's art and they talk about how much they pay for it. And you get and so you get the sense that for Banksy, the fact that he has become part of the art establishment is what bothers him. You know, the fact that people couldn't see that this show was a joke. Because when you look at the show, as great as Banksy's art is, you know, the fact that there is this painted elephant in the room, and everyone seems to treat it as just cool rather than, you know, a fantastic metaphor of what's gone wrong with the art world. I mean, there's no, it's not random that the movie is called Exit Through the Gift Shop, you know, that it's about, you know, what it's like to be part of a museum culture where the whole goal is that you get to the end of a show so that you can buy something, you know, and that clearly is what bothers Banksy. And so you get the sense, for me, how I've interpreted, and I'll sort of lay out my sort of thesis on this film, is that I really do think Terry is a real person. And I really do think that he took all this footage and is kind of manic, as he sort of seems to be, and wants to be part of this group. But that Banksy, once he realized that no one understood what his LA show was trying to do, you know, once everyone, you know, just sort of, it just became a commodified part of the art world, he realized that he had to do something else. He had to show people how unbelievably stupid this was. And so he creates Mr. Brainwash. And he asked Terry to sort of assume this role, which I think Terry would have been more than happy to do.
Yeah.
And so for me, I actually think that maybe the first half of the film is fairly legitimate footage that Terry shot. But then what happens in the second half of the film, where it becomes about Mr. Brainwash, is the hoax and the put on.
Now that sounds plausible to me. And that matches with what I saw, I believe. Yeah. There's actually another metaphor for that whole thing is Banksy is taking Terry through his workshop, and it's sort of this labyrinthine structure, which is kind of cool. You feel like you're walking into something secret and private when you're getting to see this stuff. But he takes him into this back room, and there are all these boxes stacked back there, and he opens them up, and it looks like all this cash.
Yeah,
and at first I thought, whoa, is this how he funds his operation?
Right.
And then he picks one of the bills up and shows it close to the camera, and it does look like real money, except that it's Lady Di on the bill.
right, it's not the queen.
And he said he thought this would be really funny, and he would just dump these off of a building or something, but they crumpled one up, and they were able to use it to pay for something at a bar, and no one noticed. Mm. And so then he realized, ooh, that this is actually like counterfeit money. And there are laws against that.
Yeah, that's right.
So he doesn't know what to do with it. He can't just dump it off of a building anymore, you know? So it's kind of, it's funny, this dilemma that's similar to a metaphor for finding himself in this dilemma of legitimacy, of being able to create things that pass, you know?
Yeah. And so for me, when we come to, because what's interesting about Mr. Brainwash, or Terry as Mr. Brainwash, is that it's at this point in the movie where the movie becomes really vague. You know, up until then, we learn a lot about Terry's life, and we meet his wife, and we learn about what he does. And but at this point, it's like, it's very vague about how this is financed. It's, you know, he talks about maybe he sells his clothing store or something.
Yeah.
You know, but how is he actually financing this team of people to make all of this derivative street art that he's going to put in his installation? You know, how does he actually get people to recommend him so that he can put that in his marketing material? You know, how does he sort of, you know, get this, you know, space to do this, you know, absolutely crazy installation? And I think that vagueness is again, I think it's intentional. I think it's Banksy's way of saying, hey, if you're really paying attention, this is the point in the movie where the hoax is about to happen.
Yeah.
But I do think that the actual installation, with people lined around the block and people willing to pay, again, tens of thousands of dollars for what is, you know, very obviously derivative art, is Banksy's way of just saying, you know, the art world has completely lost its mind. You know, the art world has no connection to actual quality. It's just based on hype. It's just based on who has the coolest gimmick. And it's all about, and collecting isn't about trying to say, you know, this is the kind of art I want in my house. It's about saying, I've got a Mr. Brainwash in my house. I've got a Banksy in my house. And that, I think, is what infuriates Banksy about the art community and the art world and where things are, and why he wanted to do street art in the first place. And it really is his way of you know, sort of sticking his thumb in that eye.
In some ways, we don't know how Banksy funds his operation either, which is an interesting parallel. But yeah, I think you're right that the art world wants to have a darling, a new one, especially, you know, that can trump it like this. I'm not sure, without looking for more information than this film provides, that it's necessarily anger that Banksy has about this, other than it may just be an opportunity to exploit again, an opportunity to have one over on everyone, you know, to just pull another stunt. The whole thing is a stunt. Now we've got a movie, and people are talking about the movie. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and maybe anger, it pushes it a bit too much, but there does seem, I can imagine how someone who takes his art as seriously as Banksy does, and it's very clear that it's a very serious thing for him. I mean, fun in a lot of ways, but it's also pretty obvious to me watching this movie that Banksy is a lot better than almost every other street art I've seen,
Yeah.
including the one that's in the film. He's just a lot smarter, a lot sharper, a lot more thoughtful, but also just a lot better. But so much of what he does is designed to avoid the limelight. It's designed to avoid all the trappings of the commodification of the art world. And so I can imagine that someone like that would find, even his own art has become commodified, very, very frustrating. That even in his attempts to sort of avoid that, the capitalist structure doesn't let him avoid it. And I can imagine that, I guess I'm maybe projecting my own thoughts on how he might feel, but anger feels like a reasonable response. But also the if assuming that it is a hoax, and I think it's fairly, I would be surprised if Mr. Brainwash is not a complete and total hoax. It's a really mean hoax. I mean, he's convinced all these people who are part of the art world that there's this new hot thing, and it's very clearly bad. It's very clearly an Emperor Has No Clothes kind of movie. And that, I think, to me is why it feels a little bit angry.
Yeah. I was here in Chicago just a couple of days ago, and I saw a guy climbing onto a motorcycle, putting on his helmet and his t-shirt in really simple lettering, said, "I am Banksy."
Oh, is that right?
And for all I know, he was.
Well, yeah, it's and he I know he has been in the Midwest. He was in Detroit just a month ago putting up, there was art, and I don't know if you saw this, but there was
No.
a oh he put up in a very, very abandoned area of Detroit where there's a lot of, just abandoned buildings or dilapidated falling down buildings. Banksy was putting up art. And I saw a picture. I can't quite remember it, so I can't describe it. But it was cool. I mean, it was very clearly Banksy, and he put it up on this building that had been condemned, but the landlord had done nothing about it and been this incredible eyesore. Well, these art people, sort of, I don't know if it was gallery owners or whatever, came and basically took the wall so they could have Banksy, and the landlord is suing them to get it back. Because the landlord thinks that the wall belongs to them. But what this has allowed the city of Detroit to do is to finally figure out who actually owns this property so they can now sue the landlord for abandoning it for so many years. So it's this
It's worth
wonderful,
something.
it's this wonderful kind of, complicated thing that I suspect Banksy would find very, very entertaining. But I know he's been in Detroit for part of the summer. So for all you know, maybe he was riding around on a motorcycle in Chicago.
Funny.
Is I know that for some people, a friend of mine, Josh Rothkopf, who writes for Time Out New York, has argued that he thinks the movie would be highly diminished if it was a hoax, because he would think it was mean spirited if this was all fabricated. Whereas for me, I think that the movie is much, much more interesting if there is a hoax, or if at least part of it is. I'm curious your thoughts on that. I mean, would you agree with Josh that somehow the movie is diminished if it's just merely a hoax?
No, I don't think so at all. If it isn't, then it's just a straightforward, talking head documentary with some neat footage from behind the scenes stuff. I did, though. It seemed so clear to me that it was a hoax. I was a little surprised to find that some people are pretty sure it isn't, or think it isn't. And
And
so
very
I,
intelligent people. I mean,
yeah, I mean, there is a Wikipedia entry on Mr. Brainwash, but of course that means nothing. There was, however, an LA Weekly, cover story on Mr. Brainwash when he had his show. So there clearly was a show. We can assume the LA Weekly probably wasn't in on it, on some sort of hoax. There was a show. I don't know. It doesn't feel mean-spirited necessarily. I always want documentaries that are requiring me to think a little bit about them. I guess it depends on if you mean the show itself, also the entire hoax, is mean-spirited, and I don't think that is either, because it's trying to, if your theory is right, it's trying to expose holes in a sort of weird system where people are commoditizing and monetizing objects for no clear reason.
Yeah.
But the movie itself, kind of like the movie My Kid Could Paint That, which we talked about a lot on this podcast, just provokes so many interesting questions and allows me to think about those questions that I appreciate that, regardless of whether it's true or not.
Yeah,
we have to be savvy enough viewers to question what we're seeing regardless.
Yeah, that's right. And I think you're exactly right. The reference to My Kid Can Paint That is fantastic because they're both about what is the nature of art, and what is art, and as you know, what does it mean if a little girl can paint abstract art? Does that sort of show the bankruptcy of abstract art, or does it not? And then what does it mean if maybe she didn't paint it? But all these people bought it because they thought she did. In the same way, you know, the question is, what is street art? Is it really art? Or is it just, you know, people putting stuff up on walls? But what does it mean then to start collecting street art? And what does it mean to be sort of become part of that culture?
What does it mean when it becomes legitimate?
Yeah, that's right. But what do we mean by legitimate in the first place? And what does it mean that art is legitimate or not legitimate? You know, what does it mean to have sort of, I mean, and again, Warhol, the beauty of Warhol was that he, explored all of this, 40 years ago.
And it's interesting that a lot of Mr. Brainwash's stuff is clearly derivative of Warhol, not just Banksy.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's, and again, that's another clue to me that I think this is intentional. The Warhol references are everywhere in that. And again, that sense of what does it mean if art is a factory? What does it mean, to bring it back to film, of an auteur theory? I mean, does there have to be sort of the artist behind it? Or what if I just come up with an idea and I hire someone to do it? Is that art? Those are, I think, really fantastic questions.
By the way, how is that different from filmmaking? Every film is a collaboration of lots of people, and yet often one person, in this case Banksy, is attributed to it, is given the credit for it.
Yeah, that's right. And so for me, those questions become really fascinating ones, and why I think the film is really continued to be one that I come back to and think about, and one that I appreciate much, much more than I did maybe that, when I walked out of the theater the first time.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Plastic Podcast. I do have one addendum to this discussion. Banksy has a website at banksy.co.uk. And as I was clicking around, I realized that there were links to photos of some of the work that he's done outdoors and indoors. And then the last link on the left of his website is simply the word shop. What a hypocrite. But when you click that link, here's the text that you see. I'm quoting now. Banksy does not produce greeting cards, or print photo canvases, or paint commissions, or sell freshly baked bagels. Please take anything from this site and make your own, but for non-commercial use only. Banksy cannot be found on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, etc. If you'd like to hear more episodes in this series of podcasts, go to iTunes and search for Plastic Podcast and we'll pop up. There you can leave us comments. Or you can also find us at dailyplastic.com. And we'll be back soon with more stuff. Bye.